James chapter 2, knowing He's with us gives us that deep sense of peace as we sang that chorus. It just, you know, it just flows over you and it gives you such peace in your heart to know that He's real and to know that He's here with us today. James chapter 2 and verse 14 for our scripture reading this morning. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says, and that's the key, someone says, someone claims, he has faith, but does not have works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked or and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is a God, one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I'm going to give you a key takeaway this morning. I really want you to get this, and I'm going to take time with it because I don't want you to misunderstand what this message is about or misunderstand what James is saying. When it comes to faith, declaration without demonstration equals deception. When it comes to faith, declaration without demonstration equals deception. There's a web page you can go to, and I've been there a couple of times, but the web page you can go to is How Things Work. And I've gone there a couple of times to try to figure out how to do some things that I didn't know how to do. James is telling us today, this is how faith works. You see, what James is talking about here today is real faith. He's talking about saving faith. He's talking about true faith, faith that is real, faith that will get us into heaven. The Reformers said it this way, we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, through Christ alone. How faith works is this way. The only way that we'll get to heaven is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how faith works. James is not talking about faith and works. He's talking about how faith works. You've got to understand, you see, what God sees in our life is the root of our faith. He sees your heart. He sees my heart. Now, as individuals, we can't do that. I don't know what's in your heart. You don't know what's in my heart, but God does. God sees the root of our faith. However, individuals see the fruit of our faith. On the hillside of Galilee one day, Jesus said it this way, you will know them by their fruits. And so what James is saying here is that real saving faith, a faith that is true to the Word, a faith that is put in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone for salvation. That is how we're saved, by grace through faith, according to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It's not by works that we can do, lest any man should boast. But it is by grace, it is by faith in Jesus Christ. But the result of that, though, is the fruit that we see in our individual life. The book of James is dealing with a series of tests. We looked at the test, if you remember, of circumstance. James started his book by talking about how a true believer responds to the pressures and trials of life. And he talked about those trials. Then he talked about the test of temptation. And he talked about how true believers respond to temptation. We talked about credibility test last week. And we talked about the need for real credibility in the Church of Jesus Christ today. We talked about how to pass that test. The test he's talking about today is the test of real faith. So James's question is this: do you have real faith? And if you have real faith, how do you know that you have real faith? That is what this passage is dealing with this morning. So first of all, what we're going to talk about is dead faith. And what James says is this: dead faith is a defective type of faith. And the way he illustrates that is talking about a very common illustration, a person who has a need, a person who has no clothing, a person who has no food, a person who is in very desperate need. And let's say, as a believer, you see that person and we don't do anything to help that person, then James says, can that kind of faith save a person? Can a kind of faith that has no fruit, that demonstrates no love of God, that demonstrates no kind of concern, can that kind of faith save a person? And by the illustration here, of course, the answer is no. That kind of faith is not a real faith. A life-changing faith, when we put faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, is a life-changing faith that gives evidence that our faith is in Christ, in Christ alone, that our lives have been changed by Him. So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to follow the example of Jesus. When Jesus says, when I was in prison, what did you do? You came and visited me. When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, what did you do? You gave me a drink of water. And so that is true saving faith. That is the evidence. And so he says here that this person says, it's not what God says about the person's faith, but it's what about this person says about their own faith, and what they claim about their own faith. And James says is, it doesn't pass the test. It isn't real faith. It is a defective type of faith. And then he does something very interesting here. What he does is, to use a very strange illustration here, in talking about demonic faith and how it is deceptive. And what he says here is, you believe in one God? Well, you do well. He says, the demons believe in God and they tremble. You know, we've been studying the life of Jesus here on Wednesday nights for, I think we're in about almost the 70th study in our Wednesday night study on just the life of Jesus. And we're going through His life in a chronological order. And one of the things that we've learned about the miracles of Jesus is this, that when He would cast out a demon or demons from people, that those demons recognized who He was, that He was the Son of God. He's talking here about a faith that a person may have. In other words, it is a head knowledge, but it is not a heart knowledge. We could say it that way. The demons know knowledge about God. The demons know the facts about Jesus Christ, but the demons are not saved. The devil is not saved. And so he says here, you know, that there are some people who, you know, they've got all the facts. They have all the knowledge. They, you know, they can spit it out to us. But their life really never has been changed. And so understand his argument here. We're not saved by facts. Do we need to know facts? Yes. Do we need to have information? Yes. Hebrews 11:6 says this, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then he goes on to say that that faith has to be in the one living true God.
Yes, amen.
In other words, believing who he is, believing what he said, putting personal trust in him. If you talk to a person, they say, well, I believe in God. Then they agree with about 92% of the American population. They believe in God. They say that. But see, you've got to take it a step further and say, well, do you believe that He's the only true God and that He's the only way to salvation and that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven?
Amen.
And then you get to that point and only 2 out of 10 of Americans will make that confession of faith that way. And so what James is saying here is that it's got to be that kind of confession of faith, that it is in Christ alone, through faith alone, that we are saved. So that's why he uses that illustration. Then, the third point that I want to talk about here is a dynamic faith. And the way he demonstrates a dynamic faith that is very decisive is he uses 2 illustrations. And what he's going to do here is go to the Old Testament. He says, now, we're talking about passing the test. We're talking about how true faith works. We're talking about the result of true faith, the fruit of true faith. Like Jesus said on the hillside of Galilee, you shall know them by their fruit, what is demonstrated in a person's life. So what he's going to do is use 2 illustrations here. He goes to the Old Testament. He says, let's talk about Abraham. How was Abraham saved? Abraham was saved by faith. The Bible says that he put faith in God, and in the Old Testament, the Bible says it was accounted for righteousness to him. In other words, that's how he got saved. He believed in God. How were the Old Testament saints saved? The same way we are, they were saved by faith, putting faith and trust in God and what they knew about Him. And so he was saved by faith. But how does James say that he demonstrated his faith? He demonstrated his faith by laying everything on the line. By taking his son Isaac. And taking his son Isaac to Mount Moriah, laying his son down on that altar, drawing that knife back, almost ready to take his life in sacrifice, and then God spoke to him and he provided a sacrifice. What did Abraham do? He proved his faith was real by his obedience to what God wanted him to do. There's a verse in Titus that says this, that the way people really disprove their faith is their inconsistency in life. And the way Titus puts it is this way. Let me read this verse to you. It's found in Titus chapter 1, verse 16. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him. And so there's an inconsistency there. What James is saying is that there will be a consistency in true faith, and how it works is it will be evidenced in our life. If my life has been changed by Jesus Christ, There will be evidence in my life that He has changed my life. That is how you pass the true test of faith. And so that's what He's getting at by using Abraham here. Again, what Jesus said is this in Matthew's Gospel and the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking there. And in Matthew chapter 5, He's talking about a candle. He says here that you know, you don't light a candle and you put it under a bushel. In verse 14 of chapter Matthew 5, He says this, "You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Now listen, verse 16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." Are we saved by good works? No. James says we're not saved by good works. But if we are saved, then he's saying the same thing Jesus did. It will be evidence in our life. In other words, a godly life, what Jesus is saying here, a godly life gives a convincing testimony of the saving power of God in our lives. And Jesus says when they see that light, then it gives glory to God. Our life will give glory to God. So that is what Jesus says. And that is exactly what Abraham did. His faith was proven. It was evident by his obedience to what God wanted him to do, and people could see the fruit of his faith in his life. Now, God knew what the root of that faith was in the very beginning when he asked Abraham to do what he asked him to do. There's another example here. This is on the other extreme. Abraham was a godly man. Abraham was a righteous man. Abraham was, he was a man who walked with God and all that. Then he talks about Rahab the harlot. That story is found in the Old Testament in Joshua chapter 2. Rahab became a believer in the God of heaven. Rahab, when you come to the Hall of Faith in the New Testament in Hebrews 11, her name is found there with all those people of faith that we read about. Now, what did she do to demonstrate that her faith in this God was real? She was raised in a pagan society. She had the influence of pagan gods. She lived in Jericho. Her house was on the wall of Jericho. And so what Joshua decided to do before they went into the promised land to take the promised land, he decided he was going to send two spies into the land of Jericho. They came to the house of Rahab. What Rahab did was to talk to them, says, "I know that you represent the true God." She said, "We have heard what he did to your enemies in the Red Sea." What did he do to them? He drowned them. "We have heard how he delivered you from Egyptian bondage." She said, "I believe in this God and I'm going to take care of you." So what she did was to hide these two spies on her roof. Because the king of Jericho had sent out messengers because someone had told him that there's spies in the land. And they're trying to get information so they can mount an invasion against Jericho. And so what the king of Jericho did was to send out these messengers to try to find these spies. So they came to the house of Rahab. And the Bible says that Rahab, her faith was justified when she sent these messengers out another way. In other words, what she told the messengers were this: "The spies are not here. I haven't seen them. I don't know where they are. If you go now, then you may confine them." And so what she did was to hide these spies. And when these messengers had left and they started looking in other places, then she talked to them. And she said, "When you come into this land, here's what I want you to do. I want you to show me favor." And they said, "Here's what you've got to do. You've got to take a scarlet cord And you let that scarlet cord down out of your window. And when we come to take the promised land, we will not touch you. What you need to do is bring your family into the house, bring whoever you want to in this house, and they will not be harmed. And that is known as the scarlet cord of redemption in the Bible. But she proved her faith that way. She was a Gentile. Abraham was a Hebrew. She had a bad reputation. Abraham was a decent man, but they all came to faith the same way. It is a gift of God. But how did they prove this? What was the evidence of their faith? What is James saying here? He says, out of true faith. Then what comes out of true faith is the byproduct of that is works. In other words, it is evidence. Let me show this to you in the book of James. Look at James chapter 1 and let's begin reading there at verse 18. But someone will say to you, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. Now, is James saying we're saved by works? No. What he's saying here is this. By our good works emerges the evidence of our true faith in God. Abraham offered Isaac, and that was a demonstration of his faith. What others did was to see that he demonstrated his faithfulness to God's will, and it demonstrated the reality of saving faith. The same is true in the life of Rahab. Now, there's two things here. If you have not placed your faith in Jesus Christ, then you do not have true faith. The only true faith that there is faith in Jesus Christ alone. Your salvation, my salvation, is all of grace through faith in Christ. Another thing is, if you say that you have faith in Jesus, but there's been no life change, there's no result, there's no evidence of life change, even though you say one thing, then what James is saying here is, your faith is dead. It is not a living faith. It's not a true faith. It's not a faith that can get one to heaven. John Calvin, one of the great reformers, here's his quote on it. Faith alone justifies, but the faith that justifies is never alone. And that's a good way to say it. Here's the bottom line. If we have true faith, we will show it. If we have true faith, God will know it. If we have true faith, others will know it. So faith is confidence that God's word is true, the conviction that we're acting on God's word being true, that brings the result in our life that we need. Salvation is by faith. Salvation, someone said it this way, salvation is not about faith and works, it's about faith that works. That's what salvation is. Faith that works. And that's exactly what James is saying today. So let's go back to our test question. Do you have faith? And how do you know that faith is real? If we place our faith and trust completely in Jesus Christ, we trust Him alone for our salvation. It is all of grace. It is through faith. See, faith is that vehicle. That's how we appropriate God's grace, what He did on the cross for us, and receiving that, we put faith and trust in that. And that is what brings about the salvation in our life. And the evidence of that, James says, is a changed life. The good works. The evidence of living the kind of life that God wants us to live. So I'm asking you today, if you've never placed faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, you need to do that today. That's the only kind of faith that's going to get you to heaven. That's the only pathway to God. That is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other kind of faith. It's not just the facts about it. It's not thinking, well, I can believe in the historical Jesus or believe about things like that and I'll be okay. No. Have you trust Him personally? That means to believe that He can forgive you of sin and give you new life. It is to believe that His grace is the only thing that can get us to heaven. It is by His grace and not our works. That's how you pass the test that James is talking about here today. Let's stand for our prayer. Father, we thank You for the truth of the Bible. We thank You for the truth that we find here in the book of James. This is how faith works. This is how we know that we have been saved. This is the evidence of what real faith is all about. Lord, today I pray that as we consider this passage this morning, that each of us would take that self-examination test. To ask ourselves the question, is my faith real? And how do I know it's real? Lord, today I pray for those who need to come and place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. I pray that they would make that step today. We are not saved by faith and baptism, grace and baptism, faith and church membership. That's not how it works. It is grace and faith alone. Lord, did I pray that each person could get this nailed down and leave this building today with assurance and with the confidence that their faith is true. In Your name we pray. Amen.